I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Monday on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
Looking for an opening, and now hits the hole, and he's through it. And it's another 9 yards. Fumble on the play, though. And it's picked up by Buffalo at the 36-yard line. It's Buffalo football. Fakes the handoff, fakes the throw, comes back. Wide open in the end zone is Mac Hollins for a 2-yard touchdown reception. Here's the snap. Back to pass. Blitz coming. Wide open Ray Davis. 45-50. 45-40. Still on his feet. He's going to go. 20-10-5. Touchdown, Ray Davis. Fakes the handoff, rolls to his right, looking to pass, now gets hit as he throws, and it's caught in the end zone by Quinton Morris. His first catch of the season goes for a touchdown. So let's go over. Snap by Ferguson, hold by Martin, kick by Bass is long enough, and it is good! Bobs away for Tyler Bass!
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Victory Monday. Josh Schmidt threw that together. Tyler Bass, 61-yarder. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. It is Buffalo Bills Football Monday, and the Bills are 7-2. That's good stuff. Football Monday brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. We'll take your calls. We'll talk about all of it.
That's a Bills-Dolphins game right there, right? Yes. They either blow them out or it is just Miami heartbreak.
Well, the thing about the Miami heartbreak especially is they had the lead, but in the second half, once the Bills got it to 20-13, and this game ends up 30-27, Miami never had the ball with a chance to take the lead.
Right. They were down seven.
Seven, tie.
After the Bills get the two-point conversion, they were always down seven.
Yep, down seven, tie. Down seven, tie. Game over. And not to start with this point, but I thought it in the moment. I thought they should go for two.
I thought they were going to go
for two. I thought they would, too.
I was surprised when they didn't.
There's not much time left. You know the Bills are going to get a kick to win this game. That's if I'm Mike McDaniel and the Dolphins, I'm thinking Josh Allen is going to get them in a position to win a kick for this game. If you're the Dolphins, you probably say 61, we'll take it.
Yeah.
And if I'm Miami, I would say, you know what I want to do? I got an offense that's getting chunks on them all day. If I pitch it out to Achan on the edge, he's getting into the end zone for 2 points because he feasted kind of all day on the edges. And what I want to do if I'm Miami is say their kicker is maybe lacking some confidence and lacking some consistency. If he's going to line up for a kick, he misses, we win. That's what I'd go for. I absolutely would have gone for two if I'm Miami. Otherwise, you know, you're hoping for overtime where, of course, you could still lose on the road. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, credit Miami. I thought they played well. Tua played really well. And Achan played well.
They finally committed to their run game for like a whole game against the Bills.
And it looked great for them. But
isn't that the funniest part of it? It's like Tua played really well. Their run game was great. They had 150 yards on the ground, 149. And they even got Tyreek Hill got a couple of big plays against against the Bills with the Dolphins. It was 80. Not like something crazy. They got all that to go their way, and they still lost the football game.
Because?
Because they couldn't stop the Bills in the second half.
Because Josh Allen's able to throw passes to Quentin Morris from his almost knees, from his shins.
Yeah, the second half, there were no punts in the second half by either team.
My kind of game.
The Dolphins fumbled that first drive, which they were moving the ball on, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then the drives preceding by the Bills and Dolphins went touchdown, field goal, touchdown, 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 field goal. That was the second half.
Yep.
You had one, two, three, four straight touchdown drives by both teams. And the Bills had three before they got the field goal at the end. Yeah. Another slow start, though.
Another slow start,
but they just, second half, they have it dialed up. Yeah. They figured it out.
At the risk of sounding like I'm complaining, I'm not. another slow start. I remember last year when an offensive coordinator got fired for slow starts. They had multiple games where they'd score 3 points and a half, and here it is again.
Yeah.
How many games this year have they had a bad first half?
It feels like it's every
game. Are we up to five? It's four or five?
When was their last, do it this way, when was their last great start to a game?
Jacksonville?
Without looking it up. But Jacksonville?
Is it Jacksonville?
Feels like Jacksonville. Yeah.
Maybe. They started fine against Seattle, right?
Yeah. They had a good opening drive against the Jets, but then did they do anything for like a quarter after that?
Yeah.
So it's not been.
It's slow starts. Slow start against Arizona in the opener.
Slow start against Tennessee.
Definite slow start against the Ravens. Slow start against the Texans.
Yeah.
The Jets, as you mentioned. The Titans was a slow start. They ended up winning 34-10. That game is 10-7 at halftime. They get a touchdown late in the second quarter. So, you know, make of it what you will, but it is a team. I listened to the post-game show, Show Up on the Bulldog. The idea that maybe they spend the first half kind of feeling teams out or whatever, just kind of not losing a game in the first half. Like, let's go out there and make sure we're slow is what I want to say. That both teams in the first half were willing to run, eat clock, and just kind of hang out for a little while. Yeah. And, you know, they got away with it.
To make a boxing reference, this is what Floyd Mayweather would do for 15 years. He would almost never throw punches in the first two rounds because he wanted to see what his opponent had.
Yeah.
Or what he was going to bring to him. So no offense, like in the first two drives. That can't be by design, though, by the Bills.
No,
is it?
It's definitely not by design.
The scripted plays are supposed to be your best plays.
And what are the chances that this is all because the scripted plays maybe aren't there the right way, and Allen is also a little less likely to take over. We've seen
because early, he's better off script.
He's better off script, but
or he's great off script.
Early in games is when we've seen him, hey, he should run here, and then he throws it down the field and goes out of bounds and they punt. Like, oh, okay. Yeah. Like, felt like you could have run for the first down on that play. Maybe not necessarily in this game against Miami, but a couple games earlier where they go three and out and it's, well, Allen probably could have thrown it or could have run it there. So, yeah, the slow starts are definitely not by design. It's also worth mentioning, they didn't have Amari Cooper, and I felt like I noticed it.
Yeah.
I feel like I noticed it again.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, Cooper has been on this team for 2 weeks and probably changed up some of the defensive looks that they get. So, no Cooper meant you go to Coleman. There's another reason they had the slow start. It's because Coleman had a pass bounce off his chest. That's probably a touchdown drive otherwise. So, that's part of it. And there are other receivers outside of Keon Coleman. I mean, Matt Collins had a nice play here, a big touchdown catch and a really nice play call from Joe Brady. But Curtis Samuel is literally non-existent.
Yeah, he doesn't exist.
He is non-existent. You see, did Jalen Virgil out-snap him?
I saw him out there a few times.
Virgil. Me too.
I saw Virgil out there a few times. I don't think I noticed Samuel on the field until the second half. I don't know if he maybe stuck that, out there and
you,
I didn't see.
You see that one in the huddle and I think, wow, he's there.
Yeah.
This is a guy that was supposed to be a player in their offense. He's lost even the gadget stuff.
I mean, we're at the halfway point, right?
Yeah.
We're through eight games. Yeah, okay, so we're not at the halfway point.
Well, there's no halfway. Eight and a half games.
Eight and a half.
So, yes.
So halftime of the next game is the halfway point?
No, they're 7-2, so that's nine games. Halftime was halftime yesterday.
Thank you, yes. Okay, so they're more than halfway through the season. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have 100 yards yet.
On the season.
He doesn't have 100 yards.
Not in
100 yards receiving.
Not in a game.
No, rushing too. Include rushing. He doesn't have 100 yards.
In the season.
In the season, he does not have 100 yards.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I feel like they're okay with that. They might not be okay with that because of what they paid him. I think their offense is okay.
Their offense,
I don't think they need Curtis Samuel
to be
this massive difference maker because they traded for Amari Cooper.
Right. That's one of the reasons they had to trade for Cooper, though, is because Samuel's given them nothing.
Yeah.
So
right.
Coleman coming on and Cooper acquisition, these are both things that have kind of masked that your big offseason move at the free agent position for wide receiver is just a nothing. It's crazy.
Also, this is a good thing. Like yesterday, another massive play in the pass game to a running back.
Yeah.
That happens. Is that a trend at this point? Every other week, are they not getting a big play? How often are we looking at the box score and a running back is actually leading them in receiving because they broke a big one? Ty Johnson had that play on Jalen Ramsey earlier in the year. James Cook had the touchdown against Miami. Ray Davis has had a couple, right? He had the one against What game was that? Where he actually snuck behind the defense and like it was actually like a bomb down the field.
The Jets.
He had a big play where he was running down the field. This game is more of a dump off that he takes for 63 yards. Are the Bills not getting big plays in the pass game from the running backs like almost every week?
Yeah.
Like that's a testament to their running backs also.
It is. And
that's Davis making three guys miss, two guys miss at least on his way to the end zone.
And James Cook, he had a drop in this game. But going into this game, I had a stat I had not yet gotten yet. Do you know, we love talking about the efficiency of passing the ball to Shakir.
Yeah.
James Cook, going into the game, I think the Bills were, how many catches did he have on the season right now? So even after this game where he was 5 of 6 on targets, Cook has 19 catches on 22 targets. So it was, even though you feel like, well, there's the occasional drop in there, the efficiency is still incredible, as it should be for most running backs. But before that game, he was 16 catches on 19 targets. You know, like, pretty good.
Yeah.
He had 6 targets in this game. Oh, sorry, I did the math there. He was 14 catches on 16 targets going into this game.
Okay.
5 for 6 for 25 yards. You know, he gets the ball in the passing game, and it's a good play. So I like Cook just fine. They ran it. They committed to running. They did what they did. They had trouble stopping the run. I don't think there's any doubt about that, right?
They definitely did.
And Mostert, whenever they wanted to, could rip off 6 and 7 yards. And that's what kept Miami on schedule. 803-0550, you get your calls in. Also on Tyler Bass. Great story for him. The Bills, locker room, they give him the game ball. He's emotional. The one thing about it, if I may, we're 14 minutes in, so I'm not Debbie Downing this. I feel like I want to just give a little context to what happened for Tyler Bass, right? A 61-yarder to win a game is a career highlight moment for him. Career-long. Franchise record, 61-yarder.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully that's great for his confidence because that's actually not the kick the Bills need for him to keep his job.
No,
they need him to make the extra point. Yeah. They need him to make the 44-yarder. He's missed a lot of kicks that are ones you'd expect to make. A 61-yarder, if he had missed that, I don't know. Maybe they're mad about it. Maybe they'd try somebody else because he had missed an extra point earlier in the game. But a 61-yarder is not one you actually need him to make. It's one you hope he makes.
It's probably... Yesterday, conditions were perfect.
Absolutely perfect.
Right? Like, no weather. It was beautiful out. There was no wind whatsoever. They don't attempt that kick in January.
That's right. That's probably right. They don't attempt the kick in January.
Maybe they do if there's like one... Well, actually, no. Let's use the exact same game situation. If there's 10 seconds on the clock, and they are at fourth down and whatever, and they're tied, 61-yard field goal, they're punting that football in January, right? They're not 61 yards in bad weather or just different conditions where you miss it, and now, okay, do they have time to run a quick pass to the outside or even just a quick play up the middle, call timeout, and now they get a 60-yarder?
I think I'm calling a Hail Mary with 10 seconds left. I'm not kicking
okay.
it.
Okay. But they're not kicking it.
Josh, drop back, count to 5, throw it.
I think, though, he absolutely, I mean, I think this might be obvious, he eliminated any chance they're trading for a kicker on Tuesday. And I think if he had missed that, maybe the door would still be open a little bit.
That might be right.
There is no way, that they are moving on from him now. After he kicks the franchise record field goal.
To win.
To beat a division rival. At the buzzer, and then how emotional it was, all the team rallying around him after the game on the field, let alone if you saw the video of him in the locker room where he's like breaking down into tears and like the whole team around him. They're not moving on from that guy 48 hours after those moments.
Right. And we like our golf analogies. To me, what that was a huge putt to make the cut. Like, you didn't win. You did. I know. You won the game. But Bass earned the right through, you know, making big kicks these last couple weeks. He's been really good the last couple weeks. And a career long for him, that's an awesome moment. But right, what they need is more consistency. You'd love to have a guy that can consistently hit from 60. They almost never ask him to do it. How many times has he attempted from 60 before? You know?
I don't know if he ever has he ever with the Bills?
I don't think so.
Also, do we have that was good for on the broadcast or something? Because it looked like it was going to be good from like 68.
Yeah.
Looked like he cleared it pretty easily.
803-0550 and 1-888-552-550. We'll get to some calls here as it's Buffalo Bills football Monday. He attempted this year a 50-yarder against Baltimore and did hit that. So he's now 2 for 2 on the season from 50-plus. In his career, from 50 plus, he's 13 of 20. Like, that's not a very good number. Kickers are hitting a lot from that distance. It's great for him. I'm very happy for him. And I don't know if we'll field too many calls on Bass today, but he's been a topic. From 40 to 49 this year, he's 2 for 5. That's what they need. Thanks for the 61-yarder. We need you to be 5 for 5 from 40 to 49. That's what keeps your job safe. So, good for Bass. A great day at the stadium. It was fun. The crowd was into it. It was a beautiful day, and the Bills are 7-2, and next play Indianapolis, who look like they are in a world of hurt after they got beat by Minnesota. Joe Flacco did not look good at all. Anthony Richardson has been benched. So it's Indianapolis this week, and then, of course, it's you-know-who coming to town. We'll get calls in on Buffalo Bills Victory Monday. Anthony in New York City leads us off. Anthony, good morning.
Guys, you were saying before, any win, and I don't think we don't let him attempt that kick.
Probably.
Yeah.
Guys, another thing. You know, we missed Matt Milano. Miami just able to run the ball down our throats yesterday. This is where we missed Matt Milano.
Probably. It's where they miss a lot.
Yeah, I mean.
It's where they miss a lot. They miss. I mean, they miss some of their pieces they used to have on the defensive line.
Listen, they're.
They miss.
Yeah. I think they're a team that if they don't. This is where they're. The idea that they plan on starting slow is odd to me because I feel like their blueprint as a defense is somewhat reliant on their offense to be ahead so that you can't run the ball on them.
Yeah, you don't want to run it.
Like, because they want you to pass it on them. Right? We are not coming out of our nickel. We are not getting bigger. We are going to sit here and we're going to bet you're not going to run the ball on us all day. You're not going to stay committed to it. You're going to have a mistake. It's kind of what they've done maybe the whole time is, yeah, we're kind of going to give you the run game.
Yeah.
Because we're going to take away the big passes. But, you know, is Matt Milano single-handedly changed that? He would probably help if he's playing at his top peak level. But that to me, you know, that's just kind of what they are yesterday. If they start slow, you're allowing a team like Miami to commit to the run game for four quarters.
Someone wrote to me that Miami is kind of like Baltimore Jr. in a way. Okay. That they want to run it, and sure, they can pass it, and people talk about their passing game, but what they want to do with their heart is run it. And this is part of the point about how you'll take that. Achan, if you were walking out of the game, right, you're not someone that stayed up on the box score, you just watch the game, boom, kick goes through, you walk out, and your friend turns to you and say, what did Achan have today? What would you have guessed? 95 yards?
It felt like he was, 100.
115, it's 63. Yeah. On 12 carries. But Mostert had 56 on 10 carries. So the two of them combined, that's 22 carries.
Didn't Jalen Wright get in there a little bit,
too? Jalen Wright had 6 for 18.
Okay, that wasn't great.
One other way that Achan did it, though, was 8 for 58 receiving. So yeah. Achan gets 20 touches and gets about 120 yards in the game. And that's where multiple times you'd see the Bills drop back and have things covered, and Tua would find Achan out in the flat, and he'd pick up 9. So go 3 yards.
Yeah.
Which is something the Bills have been good at with James Cook. So it's kind of the way that it works. It's almost like watching this Bills team, especially in the second half, what we were watching was not quite prevent defense, but all right, they're going to get their plays. They're moving it down our field. Wait till they get to the 20. Can we stop them in the red zone? Because the red zone, of course, it becomes more difficult. Miami as a red zone team has struggled this season, and the Dolphins were able to punch it in a bunch. So, you know, it's tough. It's tough figuring out how much of what the Dolphins did on the ground is acceptable to the Bills. I mean, McDermott could, of course, say, like, we got to get things better. And I'm sure the All-22 will show this or that.
Mm-hmm.
But it was not a great game for, what, like Ed Oliver and the defensive line. But again, it wasn't like they were running right up the middle. A lot of it was to the edge, where Miami has tons of speed.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have Christian Benford out there. You have Kyer Elam instead.
Mm-hmm.
Does that factor in? Taron Johnson, I know, is super important in that role. He was banged up a little bit, but came back. So it's not unconcerning, but at the same time, it's what I always say to you, Joe, which is if I'm going to get beat in one element of the game, the run or the pass, I want it to be the run because it yields less. You had a great day running the ball. What'd you get? 149.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
That was Miami. Great day running the ball, 149. What's a great day throwing the ball? 350.
All right.
You know, like, it just yields less. Mark in Coconut Creek is next up on Victory Monday. Hey, Mark.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Great win. We'll take it against the Dolphins always. But the only time I really don't listen to you guys is after a Dolphins loss. I like to listen to the telecast down here. And they're distraught right now. They're on McDaniels a little bit. He's, I think, 22-20 over the 3 years. And, you know, why did he call a timeout? But needless to say, you know, I've been on Matt Collins, I'll say his name correctly now, for a while. And, you know, he showed some energy on that one series. He got a PI, then a defensive holding on and makes a catch. He got a lot of energy. So, but, you know, finally, though, the one thing is, you know, at the end of each half, we didn't have any timeouts, and I just feel like that last play that Josh threw to, I think, Kincaid or Knox, where he, like, dove for it, and if he would have caught it, you know, there's a chance. Oh, yeah, he would have rolled out of bounds, but there's a chance that he could have got, you know, downed as well. But that's about it. Yeah, it's a good win, and, you know, just keep them coming. So,
yeah,
great show, fellas.
Thanks, Mark. I thought Allen was not exactly the sharpest he's been. He missed a lot of throws low.
He did. He missed. There was a couple at the end of the half that he mentioned. The one to Shakir and then to Kincaid.
Yeah, two in a row.
Before he threw it away on third down.
Yeah.
That was after the phantom hold, I guess, after he ran one into the end zone. He also did that on the last drive.
Yeah.
He
missed low a lot.
If he hits Kincaid in stride, like if that ball is 4 feet higher in the air, Kincaid, I think, grabs that ball and runs out of bounds at like the 10. And then suddenly it's a 35-yard field goal.
Yeah.
Or whatever. So, yeah, he missed a couple. He missed a couple like
he
that
did,
yesterday.
He did take a pretty big hit at one point. Stayed on the ground.
Was that the – someone I saw on Twitter that he was checking his wrist.
Yes.
I didn't see that in the stadium.
There's one play where he's down on the ground. He gets up in kind of like a catcher's squat, and he's just kind of gathering himself, it looked like, for a moment, maybe holding his wrist or holding his hand. So we'll see if anything pops up today. But – wasn't his sharpest game. Of course, we saw elements of greatness. He ran for a big third down.
The touchdown to
Quentin Morris is just vintage
just
Allen.
Just ridiculous.
Yeah. The throw to Hollins on his is great.
Like, that's, you know, one where if you're a Dolphins fan, it's just so demoralizing. Like, what are we supposed to – we have him. He just flipped the ball, and it's wobbling, and then there's who's this guy? The fifth-string tight end catches it?
That's Mahomes stuff, right? Like, that's everybody else watching Mahomes. That's what we see from Allen. He's every bit as good and does that all the time. 803-0550. Thanks, Mark, for the phone call. 1-888-550-2550. Up against the break, we'll get back to your calls when we return. It's Buffalo Bills Victory Monday, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Tyler Bass, the hero, a 61-yarder, a franchise record to beat the Dolphins. Their season is in, well, a bad spot, and the Bills sit at 7-2. Jeremy and Joe, Victory Monday. You can join us on the phones here on WGR.
Bobbled by Tua, and the pass rush is there in a hurry. Greg Rousseau wrapped him up immediately. Tua barely had the football, and Rousseau was all over him. Fakes the handoff, fakes the throw, comes back. Wide open in the end zone is Mack Hollins for a 2-yard touchdown reception. The former Dolphin across the back of the end zone. As the Bills give the Dolphins a taste of their own medicine with some misdirection.
Chris Brown on the call. We'll talk to him coming up at 8:30. Highlights of the game brought to you by Northland Workforce Training Center. Train for what's next. Let's get you some Skyworks stats of the game brought to you by Skyworks Equipment Rental. Building America from the ground up. The Bills, of course, move to 7-2. Miami is 2-6. The Bills also 4-0 at home.
Yeah.
So, they'll bring an unbeaten home record into the Kansas City game and maybe the San Francisco game after that. Stats on the day, though, Josh Allen had another day. I don't know if there's AFC Offensive Player of the Week in here anywhere. He had 3 touchdowns and 235 yards. Cook, 44 on the ground. Ray Davis, 70 yards receiving and a touchdown. He had that big play down the sideline. The Dolphins had more total yards in this game. Each team turned it over once.
They had the ball longer, too.
Yeah. By about 2 minutes, yeah, 31-53 to 28-07, yeah. So 3-4 minutes there. First downs, even. Penalties, more on Miami. There were 8 for 57. Red zone, 3 for 4 for Miami, 2 for 5 for the Bills. part of their problem and why this game was close. Each quarterback got sacked one time. Dolphins, 7.7 yards per pass, which is one of their better outings against the Sean McDermott defense.
So, yeah.
There you go.
Some numbers on the field goal. Tyler Bass, 61 yards, was the longest of his career. He had one other 61-yard attempt in his career in the COVID year against Seattle. End of that half, he had a 61-yard attempt and missed it. His career from 55-plus, he is 5 of 8.
Yeah.
Including a 58-yarder he made. He made a 57-yarder, 56-yarder a couple of years ago. And for Bills history, there were 3 field goal attempts longer in Bills history, but that's it. Steve Christie has the record. He attempted a 65-yarder in 97 and missed. Steven Hauschka attempted a 62-yard field goal. And then Ryan Lindell kicked a 63-yarder, which to me is nuts that anyone thought Ryan Lindell could kick a football 63 yards.
803-0550. One last thing on Bass. So I got to make a Top Gun reference for this. If you've seen Top Gun, you've seen Top Gun?
Yes.
So Top Gun, Maverick is flying, and it's not when he has Goose with him. Must be when he has Merlin, right? Who steps in for Goose? Spoiler alert when Goose.
Okay.
Anyway, Maverick goes to his patented trick where he brings him in closer and hits the brakes and he flies. You know, I mean, hit the brakes, he'll fly right by. When he does that, he says, "I'm going to bring him in closer." Merlin says, "You're going to do what?" That was my reaction when Bass went out for the 61-yarder. "Oh, they're going to send out Tyler Bass. You're going to do what?"
You didn't think they were going to do it?
No.
I'm
not mad that they did. I thought they had to get to about the 35, and that's a 50-plus, and that's where you're saying, like, all right, fingers crossed, Tyler Bass. But 61,
yeah.
Like, listen, he's been a good kicker. He has not been one that has been consistent from distance, and he's not really thought of as a weapon. Some of these guys, like Younghoo Koo, once he lines up for 61, leave the stadium. Game's over. That's going through the uprights.
Right.
So
the Cowboys kicker, he's another one.
Yeah, some of these guys are so good. Aubrey. Kickers are so good lately, and Bass has felt like he's not exactly a weapon in the same way, but good for him. You know, full marks to him for that. All right, 803-0550. It's a victory Monday, and the Chiefs play tonight. Listen, let's go Baker. Beat the Chiefs.
He's got a job in front of him.
He's
throwing the ball to who? Like
Sterling Shepard and
if he can pull that.
Jalen McMillan. It's a Kate Otten game. If Baker can find a way to go in and beat the Chiefs, then the week after, is a game for the one seed spot. That's it. They need to lose one time.
Baker's one to get motivated too, isn't he? Is this a revenge game of sorts for him? Was his starter. Wasn't he a backup to Mahomes in college?
Maybe. Every game's a revenge game for Baker. Every game.
Yeah.
I love Baker.
Texas Tech.
There you go. Paul in Buffalo. Yeah. Hey, Paul, good morning.
Guys, you know, everybody has a favorite flavor of ice cream, and surely this game yesterday was a beautiful dish of chocolate ice cream with whipped cream on top for me. Hank Stram would call it matriculating the ball down the field. Bret Hart would call it the excellence of execution. I call it walking and chewing gum at the same time. Two offenses, the Dolphins and the Bills, that can run and pass the ball. An amazing concept that most of the NFL hasn't grasped for the last 5 years. I loved watching that game. I couldn't predict what the next play call was going to be from either offensive coordinator, which rarely happens in an NFL game. Teams that could go anywhere and do anything. I just want to point out two plays that I love from two Bills. I don't know which one I like more. Khalil Shakir catches a ball out in the left flat, and it looks like he's going to get tackled by one guy. He makes a miss. Then he splits two Dolphins, who I don't know how they didn't tackle him, and he makes about an 11-yard gain. And my favorite play of the game, James Cook on second and goal, gets swiped in the backfield, and he's going down, collects himself, and then does the sled drill with three giant humans because he's got running back legs. And I love that guy. As soon as he did that, I said, this is Big Ten football. And I just loved that game. I loved everything about that game. I loved Kevin Harlan on the call. His voice is like Marv Albert reignited for us without any of the scandal. I just love that football game, guys. Have a good day.
Thanks, Paul. Shakir is so fun. He's so good. He's so easy to like. So easy to like. His plays consistently get you excited because, like we pointed out on the pregame show, the throws to him, it's not surprising his efficiency is so high because there are a lot of, I don't say easy throws. They're easier button throws. His depth of target's not that far down the field. He's usually going to be in like that Beasley role. But he is Beasley with a ferocious yards after catch ability.
He's Beasley with Curtis Samuel.
Yeah, that's probably right. That's probably right.
The plays that he is so good at, the screen, he's done something that I don't feel like a Bill has been able to do in like 8 years.
Execute screens.
Every time they throw him a screen, it works. And I thought that was going to be Curtis Samuel, which like that's one element where I feel like they're getting away with Samuel is doing nothing for them and it's okay, is one of the things Samuel was supposed to come in and drastically improve was the screen game. And Samuel's not doing it, but Shakir is. So you're still getting those plays. And every time they throw it to him, it looks like he's finding a way to carve out 4 more yards than he's supposed to. He runs like a running back. And Cook, on that, is anyone else amazed? Like, he said Cook's got running back legs. Anybody else amazed that James Cook is just a running back when you look at him out there?
Yeah.
Like, he is so slender for a running back, you would think that he would break down or wouldn't be able to push forward in some of these plays for yardage. He just figures it out. He just does it. He's also so smooth.
Yeah.
He's got to figure out how to catch the freaking football sometimes.
He does catch it most of the time.
Most of the times, but his drop rate is, I think, like the highest of running backs.
I mean,
like, one of every 10 is a lot, and that's about where he's at.
Yeah, there are 3 incompletions on 22 targets, Damon. Those are all probably drops, yeah. Louie in Ontario. Good morning, Lou.
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call. You guys do a great job, by the way.
Thank you.
You know what? I got 2 big points I want to make. First point, you know what? I never wanted to complain about the referees because, you know what? If it comes down to that, you didn't do your job. However, those 2 holding penalties were nothing short of pathetic. And the NFL should look at these referees and say, you know what, guys? You need to go back to school, okay? Now, my second point is this. And I'm really, really, really worried about this team, especially on defense. We have a leaky run defense, and our pass rush was nowhere to be seen. I know that Tua gets rid of the ball really quick, but we need a defensive lineman before the end of this trade deadline. We really, really do. And with those 2 injuries we got now, with Smoot and the other player, I can't remember his name, we need some more depth here. We need somebody. Because you know what? Josh Allen can't be Superman the whole game.
Yeah.
I'd like to hear what you guys got to say.
Dwayne Carter, I believe, is the other one you're thinking of that has an injury right now, the rookie.
That they miss him a lot. I think they miss him a lot. He didn't just flash. Like, he's looked like one of their better players.
Could they add one, though, regardless? Even if they know, like, hey, he's going to be back in 3 weeks, would they add one anyway? They did add defensive tackle in the middle of last year. Who was the guy they brought in?
Linval Joseph.
That was off the street free agent. That wasn't a trade.
I remember that because was it the beginning of the season he was listed as a guy that they lost this year? Remember that?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Maybe it was a preseason game or something. Like, oh, yeah, Linval Joseph is gone.
I mean, this is even worth mentioning. It's not worth mentioning, but I'm going to mention it anyway. I did have the thought yesterday. I wonder what Aaron Donald's up to right now.
That's a thought.
But he's not coming back.
I mean, it's a thought.
And if he did, he's probably just going back to the Rams. But he's only, I looked it up, he's only 33.
Yeah.
Is there a defensive tackle they could trade for? Like, to me, that is maybe one of the higher, if I were to rank the ideas that they could trade for tomorrow, kicker now went from, like, to me, top of the list to, like, the bottom. They're not doing that now. Defensive tackle might be, like, top 3.
Yeah, for sure. Receiver is one where Shakir is, I think they're thin. They're kind of thin. I thought they missed Cooper yesterday. Hollins showing up to make a couple plays is nice. Miami is not a defense.
Hollins had a good game.
Miami's not a defense where you would have this exposed. Like, before Cooper showed up, it was Arizona, Jacksonville. These defenses, you don't need your best receivers. Miami, I think you can get away with it. If you play Baltimore, you play Houston, you play Kansas City. Like, if Cooper is out for an extended period of time, I think they will obviously miss him against Kansas City. So I don't know that there's another receiver trade in the making. Curtis Samuel being such a zero he's on the depth chart. It's almost like not having him. I don't know what role he could go into. If Shakir gets hurt, he doesn't step into that role. What role? He doesn't get targets on the outside.
He doesn't play right on the outside.
Josh Allen does not even look at him. So do you need depth there? You need Curtis Samuel if you're talking about adding depth at receiver. It is Victory Monday. Sal joins us at 7. We'll get the injury report. We'll get his view from the sideline. You can hang out with us as well. Open phone line for those of you on hold. We'll get to you with Sal, 803-0550 on WGR.
A wobbler bounces at the Bills 39. Codrington takes it off a bounce up the sideline. 50, 40, and the punter has to knock him out of bounds. Bailey does it, but it's a beautiful drive start as Codrington did his best shortstop routine, took it off a hop.
So proud of him. So happy for him. Got emotional in my little post-game speech out there. Just the trials and tribulations that he's been throughout this year. Obviously missing one early in the day, hitting the pole on another. You know, he could easily put it in the tank, and 61-yard field goal to win a game against a division rival. It's what stories are made of, and I love him. I respect him so much. Everybody in that locker room is so happy for him, and he's our guy.
Josh Allen talking about Tyler Bass. That slice of audio, Josh Allen from the locker room, brought to you by Picasso's Pizza, your game day tailgating headquarters. Eye on the Quarterback is brought to you by Great Lakes Building Systems. We keep an eye on your business so you don't have to. Our business is protecting your business. One of the things we noted was Allen seemed to be a bit off, low on a lot of throws. Of course, he got credited with an interception that wasn't his fault. I mean, it hit Keon Coleman, an open Keon Coleman, and Jalen Ramsey came away with it. Other than that, Allen, three touchdown passes. You know, he did Josh Allen things. Ho-hum. Hey, Miami, you caught one of his off games. Congratulations, right? I don't know if you could even go that far. But not a lot of throws down the field in this game. The Bills had all, maybe pull up the next-gen stats passing chart. They really didn't have much down the field. No Cooper. We'll see about Keon Coleman. That's a big injury to watch. If they don't have Cooper or Coleman next week, and the outside is what? Jalen Virgil, Mac Hollins, and Curtis Samuel?
Yeah. Tyrell Shavers. Tyrell Shavers. Being called up, and he is playing in the outside. I think
Shavers going in over Curtis Samuel. You might have to have it.
I mean, at this point, I think that's where you're at. Samuel is just not a factor at all. So I don't know how they – that's the other thing is I don't know how they want to use him. Maybe they just don't want to. Right now they don't feel like they need to.
Josh Allen's passing chart. I'm pulling it up right now on Next Gen Stats.
I would say I would agree with. I don't think they necessarily need to get him involved. I think they're doing fine without him. But Samuel? if there's injuries, then you're going to want him.
Right.
That's the thing.
Right. Three touchdowns for Allen, looking at the chart for this week. And there were only four throws over 10 yards in the whole game. One of them a touchdown to Mac Hollins, a couple complete down the right side. So not a whole heck of a lot down the field. 803-0550 is our phone number. If you're on hold, we'll get to you with Sal as we break this down. Saquon Barkley, one of the highlights of the day, a spinning ninja jump.
Did he need to do that?
Yes.
It was pretty cool.
He did need to do it.
It was pretty cool.
Elsewhere around the league, Amon-Ra St. Brown wore a Green Bay Sucks sweatshirt into Lambeau. And then the Lions went and beat them, and he caught a touchdown. Yeah. And, fun fact, that was Detroit's first outdoor game of the year. And they win in the weather in Green Bay.
That's wild.
Jeremy and Joe, it is Victory Monday, Buffalo Bills Football Monday, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
Tua hands it off, and it's bottled up, and they stopped him, dropped him for a one-yard loss. Taylor Rapp, Ilianku in there.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season, but this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.